I see you walking away with the microphone, which just means you have more to say, because I've imposed upon you, not even realizing you had emergency surgery like yesterday on your toe. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that so I can pray for you?
Thank you. I had a sore toe, and you just kind of think that you can go in there and fix things yourself, and you go in there, and I think you probably sometimes do more damage to yourself. Just a few weeks before that, I had to have a tooth removed because I had a crack in the underneath the gum line, so it had to be removed. So I was already on antibiotics, and so I'm just falling apart. You know, once you hit a certain age, all that stuff just catches up to you. Anyway, I said, well, let me make an appointment. It kind of feels a little bit better, but then when I went in there, she's like, you have an ingrown, and it's infected, and I have to take the whole nail.
Oh. Like,
okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to stick these two needles into your toe, and this will only hurt a little bit.
It's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me.
So before I knew it was gone, and I thought, okay, I can do this. And I started walking out of the doctor's office when it hit me, when the pain stuff started wearing off. And so, went home on Friday night to soak it, because you had to soak it. And this is probably more information than probably everyone needs.
Yeah, a little TMI right there.
I took the bandage off, and it looked like a murder scene in the kitchen, but got all that cleaned up. But thankfully, I'm able to walk today and at least get a shoe on. So.
And look at you reading the Word of God. Amen, brother. You can take it. You can take it. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Father, I just wanted to uphold my dear brother before you, Father, and pray physical being upon him. Father, he is a very busy man, Father, and Father, you have placed a lot of responsibilities upon him, Father, and I pray that he continues to endure and persevere and meet all those responsibilities. I pray for his physical well-being, Father. I pray for his spiritual depth of understanding, Father. I pray that you would continue to minister into his own heart. He would minister into the lives of other people. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. You know, I love you, brother. God bless you. So thank you to everyone who prayed for Jeff and I as we went across the state on, when did we leave? Monday or something? For a couple days, we were on the other side of the state for the district conference. It was really kind of an amazing time to network with a couple, 250 other ministers and pastors, and just worship God together and pray over each other and hear what God is doing and all that kind of stuff. And it was an uplifting time. I even had breakfast with the president of the CMA. We were in the same hotel, and he just came down and sat in front of me, and so we got to share some time together, which was pretty nice. He eats really slow. And we were almost late for our morning session, but it was okay. It was all good. And I didn't even realize this. Where's Jeff at? Somewhere. Where's Jeff sitting? Jeff, for a couple guys that kind of like music, I realized we spent hours in the car, and we never put on any tunes, man. We just, like, never jammed out. We were just kind of hanging and enjoying each other. There might be something there. That's all I'm saying. It's good friendship. Appreciate it. So we're continuing in 1 John. And as we continue in 1 John, just remember that John wrote this to what he phrased as dear children and sons and daughters. He sent this as a kind of a pastoral kind of a care letter to encourage, to even comfort those, and to reaffirm them in their faith, even confront false teachings. And throughout the letter, John kind of presents Jesus as light and love and life. So there's a lot of contrasts that he makes to kind of help us along the way. Light and dark. Loving God and loving the world. Truth and lies. Love and hatred. Life and death. Good and evil. And he communicates very effectively in very practical ways and what it means to have fellowship with God. And here's some key phrase. And what it is to be in Christ. It sounds simple, but it's very deep and profound. And this particular chapter, chapter 3, lends itself to some very profound insights and some very deep theological messages and understandings beyond kind of the surface stuff. You have to be able to absorb and read it well. There are aspects within the passage that lend itself to some misunderstandings, to misdirections, misrepresentations, even confusion. We can find ourselves simple enough just reading through it and not really gain any of the deep understanding of it and not go into a supernatural contextual sense of what it is and just kind of rely on the surface stuff, and it's okay to be able to do that. And you can utilize some of the passages in scriptures like that. But it's deeper. It's deeper. It's kind of like you can keep the letter of the law and miss its intent. And so you understand the letters of the law, but you're missing its intent. You can go a little bit deeper with these passages of scripture. And again, you can read it either way. And so as you kind of go through that passage, the first thing that probably would help us understanding, it helped me grab hold of it. I hope it'll help you grab hold of it. The sin that is being talked about in that passage is that people do not become the children of God. That's the dramatic sin within the passage of Scripture. They never become children of God. They keep on sinning without God. They remain in their sin. The smell of death surrounds them. They continue without God and under the curse and under the wrath of God, still confronted with the curse and the wages of sin. And the reference to lawlessness can be also very disconcerting, because we think lawlessness, we think Ten Commandments. We think thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not cheat, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not envy. We start to think in terms of, catch the word, behavior. Yet lawlessness is referring to original sin, the works of the devil. Scriptures were clear. Tempting God's creation away from God. Tempting to confuse people concerning God's word. Tempting people even to deny God. People that do not accept Jesus and the forgiveness of their sins remain in their sin. That's dramatic. And that's the passages of Scripture. They remain under the curse. They have no hope of becoming Christ-like. They have no hope of reconciliation to a holy God. They have no way of even understanding God. They have looked to the world and not to God. They think in worldly terms, not in godly terms. They do not have, nor will they have, the mind of Christ. That's a dramatic sin and drastic. There's no progression of sanctification or growing in understanding of holiness for those that have rejected Christ. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not become more and more holy. They do not become more and more set apart from the world. And far too many are still lost in the sin. They are continuing in their sin, in their lawlessness, in the original sin, while there are those that claim Jesus as a Savior are no longer under the curse. They're no longer under the sin of the devil's work. They're no longer under the sin of death. We're free. We have overcome death, and we shall be like him. Because now we are covered in the blood of Jesus. He's done the work. Watch. We do not go on sinning. Covered in the blood of Christ, washed as far as the east is from the west. Because watch, we are no longer viewed as in your sin. Why? Because you are in Christ. Do you understand? Many people still walking in sin, in lawlessness. I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about their sins have not been forgiven and washed away, past, present, or future. They're still walking in lawlessness. This is what he's writing about. John's being very specific. You can read it on the surface, but he's talking about something much deeper, much more profound. We're no longer viewed as in our sins, yet we continue to sin behavior. You with me? We continue to struggle in our flesh behavior. So here's a slide for you that maybe just put it. Original sin, behavioral sin, right? Did I make that slide? Original versus behavior? I did not make that slide. So that was a slide I should have made, right? So the differentiation between original sin and behavioral sin. If you can grab hold of that, it will set you free. It will set you free. It will set you free from your own shame. It will set you free from your own death. It will set you free judging other people concerning their guilt, concerning their shame, concerning the places they are. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you. I am saved from my sin. I am working out my salvation. Though I fall short in my behavior, Christ says I am free. You are free from the curse. You are free from the wrath. There is a relationship now between me and you. I want to be a man after God's own heart, though I may stumble, though my behavior looks bad, though I may fall sometimes. God says you are covered. I love you. Though I may trip over lawlessness at times, I am not under the curse of death. Listen, put it to rest. If you have never put it to rest, put it to rest. God looks at me and he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Do you agree with it? Do you believe it? Will you receive it? And will you walk in it? God views me as one of his own. God views me as his family. I am in Christ. Are you in? Somebody say, I'm in. You, when God looks at you, he sees the blood of Christ. He views you as one of his own. He views you as his family. You are in Christ. You are not in your sin anymore. God has rescued me from the pit of hell, and he has saved us from eternal wrath. He has pulled me out of a devil's grip and the works of the devil. He has pulled me out of the mud and the mire. He's given me a new start. Somebody give me an amen. Is he giving you a new start? Did you feel like you were refreshed? Did you feel like you were born again? Did you feel like you were regenerated? A new way of thinking and a new way of living. I'm not there yet, but I keep striving for it. Every so often, we think it's about behavior. And man, we love to judge behavior. As if your works determine your salvation. Are you with me? And we love to look at the behavior. And the behavior's bad. Your behavior? See, it's all been done. It's all been done on the cross. It's all been done. It is finished. It is accomplished. It's all been covered. Jesus did the work. Jesus holds the keys. Jesus broke the curse. God himself intervened on your behalf to crush sin, to break death, to cover you with his blood, to redeem a right relationship between you and God. And he fills your heart and he marks you with the Holy Spirit as one of his own. So put it to rest. Stop trying to earn a salvation. It's done. Will you receive it? Will you accept it? And will you walk in it? If you think it's about behavior, you can't earn it. No one could, no one can. And you can now also get this freedom of putting away the expectations of someone else's behavior. They're trying to earn their way into heaven. You know it's done. You know it's done. If you are not in him, you are in sin. And you should be afraid, very afraid. So right here and right now, let's make this a profession of faith. Let's just make sure we're all in the right space. For those that desire to be in, or to reaffirm that they're in, it's simple, really. So profound. Just say a prayer with me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I believe I am forgiven. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you reject the forgiveness, you're still under the curse. You're still in sin. You're not in Christ. You're in sin. That's kind of the big overview. Making sure that we understand the difference between how I am not a sinner, though I may sin. Behavior. Anybody going to watch some football today? I know some folks over here. Anybody going to watch some football today? I'm going to try to catch some football if I can. Go Steelers! Steeler Nation, baby! Boo. So, got to stir him up somehow. Consider it a football player, right? He knows his responsibility. I mean, if you just think about a guard or a tackle, you know, sometimes they have to, their play is to pull out, right, and move around to the corner so the running back make the right block so the running back can get around and score. He knows his tasks, and he knows what he's supposed to do, and occasionally it's ready, set, hiking, and he's running around, but he'll miss his block. Miss his block. Most of the time, that's the exception, not the rule. That's why he gets paid so much, because most of the time he's probably going to make the block. But there are exceptions when he will stumble and fall and not make the block. It's kind of the same in this Christian life. Sin in the life of a Christian is the exception, the behavioral sin. It's not the rule. And it may take years of practice to learn how to run proper plays. It can take years of practice. You just got to keep on practicing. You just got to keep on practicing. You just got to keep on showing up. You just got to keep running the plays, right? Eventually, you get it. You understand it. You're running your plays. It can take years for people to get over addiction. But they keep showing up. They keep running plays. It can take years for people to get over alcoholism. Some maybe never do. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. But they'll keep running plays. They'll keep showing up. And most of the time, they make it. Most of the time, they run the plays. Most of the time, they do it. See, saved people, those that are in Christ, do wrong. Just as lost people, those that are in lawlessness and still under the curse of God, do right. Right? The fact that a saved person does what is wrong does not make him any less saved than the fact that a lost person doing something that's right makes them any more saved. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what you are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. In Christ, we have an encounter with his love. There's your first one, love. I think it's the first one. In his love, that has it's his love and what he has done for us. He did for us. I know you're trying to think about things you can do for him, but you're probably better served just staying and thinking about what he has done for you. While we were sinners, he came for us. While we were sinners, he descended from the spiritual and into the physical. While we were sinners, he died for us. He did this. His great love, his desire was a relationship with you. While we were yet enemies and far from him, he sacrificed so the curse could be lifted off of you. His love is unlimited and knows no bounds. This is an amazing love that he holds for us. What great love he has lavished upon us. A love that draws us. A love that calls us his children. A love that is surprising. A love that is supernatural. A love that surpasses anything on this earth. A love that transcends the spiritual into the physical. A love that transcends the physical into the spiritual. A love that is unlimited in nature and defines and shows and resembles God's character and nature. That's the love God has. The love that forgives the transgressor, that forgives me, that forgives you. A love that is patient in the face of opposition. A love that is kind and slow to anger. A love that trusts, a love that hopes, a love that perseveres, a love that shines into the darkness. Do you have that kind of love? A love that never fails. A love that is selfless, thinks of the needs of others. Ready for this? Oh, I hope you're ready for this one. A love that overlooks behavior and rebellion and sees a person created in the image of God. Lost, hurting, confused, and afraid. Can you love with the love of God? Can you look past behavior and guilt and shame, fear, and see a soul? A soul in need? A soul desperate. Most people show contempt toward a lost soul. God shows sacrificial love. Most people would show contempt toward a wandering soul. And God, Jesus himself, would hold sacrificial mercy. Can we love like God? What nationality are you? Anybody have a nationality? Like, I'm Indian and Polish, right? Indian and Polish, right? Cherokee and Polish, or you can tell by the last name. Snezek, you say Schnedek in Polish, right? Snezek. Anybody got any weird combinations? Anybody? Your ethnicity, anybody? No, nobody's really talking, they're all just stunned. They're all sitting in their own, like, I don't know if I love like God. Can I love like God? I don't know if I can love like God. I know I mesmerized you there for a while. Good. I'm going to answer that question for you, too, by the way. I'm going to answer that question for you. Anybody? Anybody think they're kind of... Huh? What do you got? Some Jamaican, some Spanish, what? What do we got? What do we got, dear? Chinese and what? Chinese and Jamaican. Nice. Jamaican, I love it. What you making for potluck? Yeah, I just don't hate me. Sir, way in the back, yeah, what do you got? So I can hear you. Lebanese and Spanish. All right, yes. What do you got, Mark? Come on. German and what? German and Swiss. I like cheese. Okay. Anybody else? What do you got? Come on. Scotch and Irish. Okay. You're at war with yourself. Like if it's a Scottish Irish, yeah. That's funny. Oh, yes. German and Slovak, right? Slovakia, right? Okay. Very good. You guys are weird. It's weird. Yeah. So what makes us that? You didn't choose that. Heritage, right? Heritage or the bloodline of your dad, your bloodline of your mom. Your parents made you do that. That's kind of why you are what you are, so to speak, right? The bloodline of my parents. Now what happens for those who would say a prayer and say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, God, we would say, I'm born again. I'm regenerated. I'm new life, baby. I got the Holy Spirit flowing through these veins. You feeling me? You understand what's going on? God's doing some work, spiritual work, deep inside your own heart. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Jesus, your brother. I have divine. You have divine DNA. I am capable of tremendous love. Why? Because my Father is. Unconditional love, parental love, unchangeable love. Very patient love and kindness and gentleness. I can do all that. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit of God. I can't do it in the world. I can't do it in the flesh. But I can do it in the Holy Spirit of God. If I would die to myself and God live in me and through me. You cut me, I bleed Jesus. You stab me, I bleed Jesus. You shoot me, I bleed Jesus. You insult me, I bleed Jesus. You use me, I bleed Jesus. You steal from me, I bleed Jesus. You abuse me, I bleed Jesus. I have to bleed Jesus. Why? The Holy Spirit of God. I'm covered in the blood of Christ. I'm covered in hope and grace and mercy. The love of God holds on to me strong. And the love that God has given to me, I need to give away. I have not, nor has the church, bought you out of your sin. Jesus did. Jesus did. Listen. You have to be in Christ if you're going to be Christ-like. Otherwise, not going to happen. I can love like he loved. I can walk as he walked. I can listen. I can pray. I can lead. I can teach. I can rebuke. And I know the older I get, maybe some of the other feel this way too, the older I get, the more I sound like my earthly father. Anybody come to those realizations yet? The older I get, the more I sound like my earthly father. The longer I've been walking with the Lord, the more I sound like my heavenly Father. Love looks different in the kingdom of God than it does in the world. A love that brought us peace, he showed us. A love that took our iniquities, he showed us. A love that purifies us, he showed us. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves. All who have this hope in him, in Christ, purify themselves. Just as he is pure. That's the scripture. And that's your next one, purifications. Purification. Our lives should be characterized by trying to do what's right because he did what was right. So there's a lot of behavioral scenarios that we're trying to adopt and adapt to become more like our Heavenly Father, like our brother Jesus Christ. And doing what rights involves integrity, it involves honor, it involves It involves admiration, and it takes a lot of courage, and it often goes against the views of the world. I do what I do because I am in Christ. I don't do what I don't do because I am in Christ. Yet the purity of my soul is developed by Him and through Him. All my hope is in Him. It is Him that purifies. It is Him that cleanses. It is Him that makes us holy. It is Him that makes us righteous. And purification of my soul, so much deeper than my behavior. Though should I continue to sin so that grace may increase? By no means. You misunderstand grace. I should desire to please Him. Now, I wrote this because I don't know why. Because it makes me very vulnerable to each and every one of you. I come to the house of God. I come to the house of God, and I'll just say it. I come to the house of God over and over and over and over again because I have imperfections. I know that might be hard for you, some of you, to believe, but I have imperfections. Oh, you know. Because I don't have it all together. Anybody else? Anybody else? See, God's still working on me. Working in me. Anybody else? Hallelujah, right? I'm not alone. We keep showing up together. Right? Keep showing up. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next in you. Can't wait to see what God's going to do next in us. Can't wait to see what God's going to keep on doing. Movement of God is supernatural. Unpredictable, even undiscernible at times, but it's always amazing to behold what God is doing. Do you remember when you started walking with Jesus? How you didn't quite know everything? You didn't quite have all the wisdom. You didn't quite have all the knowledge. You didn't quite have all that. You knew that there were some things missing, but you kept showing up. I know I did. I kept showing up. Why? Because I kept searching. I kept asking questions. I wanted to know more about this God. Remember showing up? You didn't understand everything, but you kept on coming. You needed to learn more about God. You weren't perfect. You knew you weren't always living right. And sometimes you would show up at a place like this, scared of all the other saints that lived so perfectly. Anybody ever been there? Uh-huh. Shaking, like, oh, they've got all their stuff together. Once you come to realize, ain't nobody got their stuff together. This is kind of harsh, but do you now think you know it all? Do you now think that you've arrived? Have you lost compassion on the ones that don't have it together yet? Have you grown contempt instead of compassion? Have you grown disdain and disrespect and disapproval of the lost? Have you grown in your sacrifice or in your judgment? Have you now progressed to the point of cynicism before people? Because you are righteous and holy and they are not. Are you a Christian with contempt instead of forgiveness? Do you attract people to Jesus or do you repel them? I come here because I'm on a journey with God. It's a few decades now I've been on this tremendous, amazing journey with God, learning more, becoming more and more like my heavenly Father. Why do you come here? And aren't we on a journey together, this dysfunctional family of ours? On a journey together. It's not me that purifies you or makes you righteous. It's not the church that purifies you or makes you righteous. It's Christ. Be in Christ and stay in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit at work in your lives that guide us and challenge us, move us, mold us. His word reveals a lot of things. And this church is a wonderful place to come and get your life together, right? I've been here 15 years, and one of the first things I said to our elders is, listen, it's going to be difficult, and you're going to have to make a choice. Is it? Because it's going to set a tone for how we're going to live around here as a family. Is it go get your life straight and come to church? Or is it, come to church, get your life straight? You choose. How are we going to walk this walk? And from what I can tell in here, it's come to church and get your life straight. It ain't over. We're still working on it. Still trying to get our lives straight. When I came to church, I was far from him, but I kept coming. When I came to church, I did not know anything, but I kept showing up. Here's your next slide. See, God is about to do things that you've never imagined. God's about to do things you've never imagined. To awaken your soul, to mold your soul, to challenge your way of thinking. And he reveals himself in new and in vibrant ways. I'm just blown away when people come up to me after service sometimes and say, you know, Pastor, oh, the Lord was working today. The Spirit was alive in the service today. Oh, I felt the Spirit moving in my heart. God was showing me some things. He was showing some things to me about myself. And I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what God was showing me. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. Now you're going deeper. Now you can move into this wonderful place of becoming what God is trying to make of us. As I get closer to Christ, as we mature in Christ, I realize how much more I need to grow, how much more dependent on him. I don't grow in my spirituality realizing how righteous and holy I am. I realize how dependent I am and how much he's done for me. More humble, not more arrogant. I'm more humble. With that same DNA that you have flowing, you have a responsibility, because you can recognize in your own life, and here's the thing, in the lives of others. And what do you do with that? The works of the devil in me and around me. The works of original sin in people's lives that won't confess Christ, that stay in lawlessness and in their sin. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, for he knows everything. We condemn ourselves. We say things to ourselves God never says about you, but you condemn your own selves and condemn your own hearts. And I can't believe I'm a saint. I can't believe the things that I do. And God says, I got you. Keep seeking me. Keep following me. Keep searching. Be a person that has the heart after God. I got you. It's covered. You're forgiven. Keep coming. Come on. Take another step, one step closer. And friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have the full confidence before God. We can approach God. So I'm fully confident that God and Jesus covers my sin. And I understand how God views me. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive anything that we ask because we keep his commands and do what he pleases. Are you ready for the command? Our hearts do not condemn us. Why? Because we do what he commands us to do. He asks us to do something, and so this is what we're supposed to do. Are you ready for the command? Here it is. And this is his command. Here's his command. We want to do his command. I want to follow his command. I want to do what God asks. I want to do what pleases God. To believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us to. I don't see anything else written after that. I don't see any other. I think it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And go love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what he commands. There's your next one. This is what he commands. Do what he commands. You will set your heart at rest, knowing I'm doing what God has commanded me to do. What? I'm loving the Lord. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm praying for him. I'm seeking him. I'm asking of the Lord to be involved in my life, every part of my life. And I will show all the grace that he's poured upon me to someone else. I will give all the forgiveness away that he's given to me to someone else. I will show all the mercy that I possibly can that's been given to me to someone else. Set your heart at rest. Accepting Christ into your own hearts. Follow the command. You must learn to walk as Christ walked. Live as Christ lived. Love as Christ loved. Listen, I didn't make a slide for this, but you might want to write this one down too. We are not under God's condemnation. We are under God's command. We are not under God's condemnation. We are under God's command. And you know what the command is. Go, do that. It pleases God. To fully, completely understand, fully, completely receive what God has done, you're set free. You're set free. Free from the curse of God. Ever wondering again about what God thinks of you? He's already showed you. You were once bound up, but now you're free. Jew and Gentile family. God's creation redeemed. Alive in Christ. My soul has been set free. Not because of what I did or didn't do, behavior, but because of my stake and faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. I receive the gift and I give it away. Listen, I cannot say it anymore than the scriptures do. This is Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Anybody familiar with this passage of scripture? You've been hanging around long enough. You kind of open your Bible once in a while. You're going to want to read that one. It's going to come to you, right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is, say the word. No, listen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So therefore there is now. When does your eternity start? When is your salvation going to kick in? Now. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit, there's a law of the Holy Spirit, there's a law of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Holy Spirit gives life to you and sets you free. Set you free, ready, from the law of sin and death. There was a law of sin and death, there was a curse of the law, and there's a law of the freedom of Christ being in the Holy Spirit of God. It set you free. And for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Which sin? All sin. The work of the devil is done, right? Pushed back, covered in the blood. No more affects you, period. Walk in that freedom. So that those who live according to the world, those that live according to the lawlessness, those that live according to the flesh, they have their mind set on what the flesh desires. They have their mind set on what the world desires. They have their mind set on what the devil desires. But those who live in accordance with the Holy Spirit of God have their mind set on what the Spirit desires, on what God desires. Do you know what pleases God? Do you know his command? I just read it to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love others as yourself. Do what pleases God. those within the realm of the flesh, those within the realm of lawlessness, cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Holy Spirit of God. You are in Christ, you are in the realm of the Holy Spirit of God. And if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, think about that. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, oh, come on now. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Whoo! He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies because of the Holy Spirit that does live in you. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this very day, we recognize that your Spirit is alive and well and vibrant here in this place. We pray that you would continue to work within our hearts and within our minds. Draw us deeper, Father. Draw us deeper into understanding more of what your word says and more about how you love us and how we are to love others. May we sacrifice our own selves, Father, that we may please you. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise and adoration for all that you've done, all that you're doing right now, and all that you will do. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for that message. If the ushers would prepare for this morning's tithes and offerings as we wait upon you. All right, let's pray together. Our most heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we come before you, Lord, and Lord, we see you. Prepare our hearts and minds for this message, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. Mold us, make us to who it is that you'd have us to be, because our hope is in you. Lord, those times that we fall short, forgive us, Father, for those times. Correct us, Lord. And Lord, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for what you did on the cross, Father, for our sins. They are forgiven. Lord, we pray with these tithes and offerings, Father, we pray that you would use them for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here and across this world, Father, to those that need what it is that you'd have for us to give. Bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name, amen.